Father, we've opened your word, and now we want to come to it for a few moments, and we want to celebrate what it says to us about yourself and your son, Jesus. We begin a journey. Why I love Jesus? That's a question I've asked myself over and over. It's a question that every one of us needs to ask ourselves. Why I love Jesus? We need to explain that. We need to tell each other why we love Jesus. And here we are in the book of Revelation again, and we're going to learn why John loves Jesus. It's right here. We pray that you'll show us in these next few minutes in thy name. Amen. And we do just have a few minutes, so I'm going to just kind of cut and paste and pull things together. When my father died last summer, I learned that there are some things that you never forget. You know, the decades can take your strength, but they don't take away your memory. The years can dull your vision, but some things still you see all too vividly in your imagination. The seasons can wrinkle your face, but they don't soften certain feelings or attitudes or hurts or sorrows, or even privileges or blessings. And you've heard me share out of my dad's life that for my dad, some of those things that he couldn't forget, those things that he would never forget, was the rejection and abuse as a child, his experience as a teenage soldier in World War II, and a host of other blistering moments as a young adult and through his troubled life. And as a 74-year-old dying of painful leukemia, he was compelled talk about certain things and try to find resolution for them so that when he ended his life, there would be peace. You've heard me share about these things. There are some things that you never forget. We read in the scriptures that Jacob never forgot his first wife, Rachel, the one that he really loved. We read that the Apostle Paul never forgot his Damascus Road experience. I have never forgotten the moments that Jesus first touched me as a teenager and won my heart to Him. Those children and those parents in Beslan, in Russia, who experienced the terrorists in that school will never, never forget that experience. And now as we come again to the book of Revelation, I want you to see that John is in his 90s. It's been 60 years. It's been decades. The decades have taken John's strength, but it has not taken his memory. The years have dulled his sight, but they don't dull his vision. The seasons have wrinkled his face, but they haven't softened his love for Jesus. Not one bit. Because John has been with Jesus, and Jesus has been with John. How in the world could John ever forget Jesus, that he has been with Jesus? In fact, John could still see Jesus. John could still hear Jesus in his imagination. Words seared into his soul. John would never forget. How could he? He had been there. I've had people tell me that after a loved one has been gone for so long a time, they can hardly visualize that loved one anymore in their imagination. They can hardly hear that loved one's voice with distinctness anymore, implying that the further that you got away from someone, the harder it was to stay connected. But I suggest to you that that was not so with the Apostle John. We read in the Gospel of John that John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. I would love to have that said about me. He seems to have enjoyed a deeper, more personal relationship with Jesus than all the other disciples. Jesus loved all the disciples, we know that, but John had a more receptive spirit, we're told in Scripture, and he opened his heart and he yielded himself more fully to Jesus than all the other disciples. He was the youngest of the bunch, but there was something that connected between himself and Jesus that forever changed his life. John experienced the love of Jesus. And that love caused him to want to be like Jesus. So much so that the love of Jesus and loving Jesus and loving one another became his overriding passion in life. That's all John wanted to talk about. He wanted to talk about how much Jesus loved him. He said it kind of humbly. He referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He never said that it was me, John. But that's what he felt. He never forgot the love that he learned to have for Jesus either. And so John's concern for the next generation, and I believe John's concern for our generation. I can imagine him as an old man wondering, what about those who never see Jesus, who never hear Jesus, who never have that opportunity? How will they ever be able to speak of one that they have never seen? And how can they explain words that they have never heard? How can they ever believe? What will happen when I'm gone? How will they know? If only they could see and touch and hear this Jesus that I have touched and heard and felt. And so we find John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing about Jesus. John writes three books about Jesus. Actually, four. Five. He writes the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation. He writes three little letters. We call them epistles. One of them is real short, not even half a page. And he writes this gospel. And as I read these books and I read the Apocalypse, it's as if John is saying, this is why I love Jesus. And this is why you can love Jesus too. This is how you can see Jesus even though you won't see Him the way that I did. This is how you can touch Jesus even though you will never feel Him physically like I did. This is how you can hear Jesus like I heard Jesus. And how you can love Him. Just read what the Spirit has inspired me to write. So it makes me wonder, do I love Jesus like that? Is Jesus the all-absorbing passion of my life? As the years have passed, do I love Jesus more? Now, Jesus has been a part of my waking reality for over 40 years now. For 40 years, every day of my life. Every day of my life. I ask myself, do I love Jesus more now? You've heard the song, I love you more today than I loved you yesterday. But I must confess that I love you less than I'll love you tomorrow. How about it? Do I love Jesus more today than I loved Him when I first believed? And will my love for Him be deeper tomorrow than it is today? Is it possible that there's someone here in this sanctuary this morning who does not love Jesus? Doesn't feel the love of Jesus in their own life? Or doesn't know how to love Jesus? I believe that the times that we live in demand a clear and honest answer to that question. The other day I wrote an email to someone stating that I believe that the shaking is already taking place within the Adventist church. You can see it. You can see some growing in Jesus, going deeper. They're becoming stronger. Their sense of vision, of purpose and mission in the church is becoming stronger. And they're becoming vibrant. And they're reaching out and they're sharing their faith. And others are getting glazed eyes and becoming more and more like the world. And the shifts in the theology in our church tell me that that we're living in shaking time as an Adventist community. There are many other loves, so many other things that attract our attention, and we are living in difficult times. The beginnings of sorrows, as I shared with one person that I talked with on an airplane, one of my airplane connections. So John opens Revelation, stating that this is a revelation about Jesus Christ. And this is a picture of Jesus that you don't find anywhere else in the Bible. Very aggressive picture of Jesus. This is not a weakened Jesus that we find, a tragic Jesus nailed on the cross, but rather a majestic, commanding, glorious, powerful Jesus, an eternal Christ who challenges us today, an eternal Christ who never changes, an eternal Christ who engenders hope. John confronts us with this Jesus. And from the grand opening of Revelation, we see a virtual gallery of pictures of this Jesus. He's a lion and a lamb and a thief in the night and King of kings and Lord of lords and divine judge riding a white horse, and he's the heavenly bridegroom. And we see him supervising his churches. We see him seated at the right hand of the throne of God on high. We see him calling a world to repentance. We see him riding on a white horse. We see him coming to save his children. We see him beckoning and encouraging with his grace. This is the picture of Jesus that we find in the book of Revelation. This is a Jesus that has everything that we need. Absolutely everything that we need. And Revelation is all about Jesus. And Revelation is all about why we should love Jesus and why we can love Jesus. I want you to notice what happens to John when he sees this eternal Jesus. Look there with me. Revelation 1, verse 17. He sees this Jesus dressed in glistening white robes, white hair, eyes on fire that pierce right through to his heart, feet like molten bronze, stars, glistening stars in his hand and his face shining like the sun. What does John do? When he sees this eternal Christ, what does he do? The Bible says he falls on his face. He falls down like he's dead. What an awesome Jesus. He falls down at the feet of Jesus like a dead man, conscious of his weakness and sinfulness before a holy, commanding God. John can't handle the eternal Christ. And neither can you. If Jesus appeared this way before us today, we'd all be down on the floor. No doubt about it. But I want to tell you, in this vision, I hear John saying, "This is why I love him. I love Jesus because this Jesus does something to me every time I meet him. Deep down inside, Jesus does something to me. I see myself as I really am. I'm weak and I'm vulnerable. I'm inadequate. And I'm a sinner. Whenever I'm confronted with Jesus, he peels me back. He looks inside, and I see myself. There's no getting around it. When I see Jesus, I see myself." Jesus is always more than we anticipate, more than we will ever be. Unfortunately, he's more than some of us care to have around. But yet the Gospel of John portrays the same picture of Jesus, because whenever someone really gets a glimpse of who Jesus really is, they see themselves for who they really are. When we have thus been confronted by the living Lord, we will never forget that experience. And we will either turn to Him in self-surrender, humble confession and repentance, or we will turn away from Him because we love the deeds of darkness more than what is truth and what is purity. Let us to see what this eternal Jesus does. This eternal Christ, this glorified Savior. What does He do to this John, who's fallen down before Him like a dead man? What does Jesus do? Tell me, what does He do? Don't you have your Bible? Verse 17. What does Jesus do? He lays His hand on him. Now think with me. John's on the ground. Flat out. No doubt his face is buried in his hands. Now how does Jesus lay His hand on John? How does it happen? Huh? Well, yeah, he's got to bow down. This glorified, this eternal Jesus. Right? This eternal Jesus, who's King of kings and Lord of lords, holy, undefiled, separate from sinners, this Jesus. He bows down and He places His hand on John. And I say, no wonder John loves Jesus. This Jesus peels him back and stares into the depths of his soul. And John can only say, I'm weak and I'm a sinner. I can't stand before you. But this very Jesus bends low and says, you don't have to be afraid of me. The same Jesus whispers words of hope and courage and purpose. He says, John, as the first and the last, I have power over time. John, as the living one, I have power over life. John, as the one who is dead and alive forever, I have power over sin. John, because I have the keys of death and the grave, I have power over death. John, you don't have to be afraid. I'm here for you. That touch tells me something very important about Jesus. Why John loved Jesus. Why I love Jesus. Because touch is a personal thing. I saw touching last night. Betty, following the memorial for your son, people gathering around you, talking with you. There are lots of arms around you. People talking, rubbing you on the shoulder, rubbing your hand as they spoke. When people are hurting, when people are frightened, and you reach out and you touch them because you care. In his epistle, this is a theme, by the way, in John's thinking. In his epistle, the first epistle of John, John writes this. He says, what was from the beginning, which is referring to the eternal Christ. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, and what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the Word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. And what we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also. John is saying, I'm just telling you what I've seen and what I've heard. And it's interesting, right here in this passage that we have read this morning, John hears Jesus first. Then he turns and he sees Jesus. He's touched, he feels Jesus. And he's saying this, Jesus, he's real and he's alive. And you can know him. You can. You can know him. And he'll speak to you. He'll reveal himself to you. He will touch you. That's what our journey is going to be about the next few weeks. Oh, I will not receive a vision of Jesus like John did. No. But John, at the end of his gospel, gives us the very words of Jesus. He says, you know, to Thomas, he says, hey, John, Thomas, you know, blessed are you who believes because you have seen. But John, or Tom, blessed are those who are going to believe and they haven't seen. Which means believing is seeing. Believing is hearing. Believing is touching. And this Jesus will be seen. And he will be heard. And he will reach out to touch you if you choose to believe. And so I ask myself in closing, do I love Jesus? Why do I love Him? How do I see this eternal Christ? How do I see this personal Christ? Jesus reveals Himself as eternal and personal together. We need that kind of Jesus, don't you think? Eternal and personal. Ellen White tells us that John was confronted by Jesus regularly about character traits. Jesus was constantly talking to John about his anger and constantly talking to John about other things, and John chose to yield himself to the things that Jesus laid bare in his heart. She says of Judas that Judas saw the same Jesus. He had similar character traits as John, but he chose not to listen. How do I relate? How do I see the eternal Christ? Part of it is opening myself and allowing myself to be vulnerable before Him. How do I see the personal Jesus? Oh, I could talk about how John, exiled on the island of Patmos, he spends time talking to Jesus. Time in praise. Time telling the other prisoners on the island about Jesus and how Jesus is coming and the love of Jesus and the love of God through Jesus. And then, as our passage says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We could spend a lot of time talking about that, but there's no doubt in my mind that that's the Sabbath. John chose to keep the Sabbath. He honored the Sabbath there on that island as a prisoner, just like he would have among the congregations that he pastored. And it was in that setting of nurturing a relationship, of opening his heart and following those traditions, those disciplines, those spiritual disciplines, that John grew and deepened his relationship with his Jesus. So much so that on the Lord's Day, he was not only in the Spirit like you and I can be in terms of connecting with Jesus, but that the Spirit pulled back and allowed John to see even bigger things. I love Jesus because He's more than I expect. He's everything that I need. He looks right into my soul. He tells me like it is. I love Jesus because He reaches out and He takes a hold of my hand. He says, "It's all right, Larry. You don't have to be afraid of me. I'm here to help you. I have what it takes. If you surrender yourself to me, my love for you will overflow in your life in a powerful way. That's what I want. That's what I pray for you. That's what I pray for ourselves as a Village family as we journey this fall and learn why I love Jesus." Oh, friend, do you love Jesus? Are you sure you love Jesus? Then why do you love Jesus? Because He first loved me. That's the reason we all ought to love Him. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Heavenly Father, thank You for this kind of Jesus. Thank You for Your incredible love to us. Thank You for the privilege of hearing these things just today and experiencing the love of Jesus in our life. We want to love Him more. And we pray that we will have the heart to believe and the heart to yield, and that we will see and we will hear and we will touch that which is from the beginning, this eternal Christ. May we know that our sins can be forgiven. May we know that we can be empowered and strengthened from on high to be like Jesus. Be like Him in this broken, dying world. Be a witness for Him. And to freely tell others why I love Jesus. Bless us to that experience, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take that as the benediction. God bless you. And may this Jesus that we've just spoken about fill your heart with joy and peace, is my prayer.
You've been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2004, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. For additional cassettes or CDs by this speaker, or for a free catalog of other American Cassette Ministries resources, please contact us as follows. Visit our secure website at www.americancassette.org. Our entire catalog is online, plus thousands of other selections to choose from. We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover credit cards. Our email address is info@americancassette.org. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 800-233-4450. For international orders, dial 717-652-7000. For fax orders, dial 717-652-9050. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108 in the United States of America. Maintaining the integrity of the Three Angels' messages for 29 years, American Cassette Ministries requests your continued prayers and financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry? To prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.